Now, the laws of Pesach, typically, it is known that we always speak 30 days before the Chag. 30 days before Pesach, we start speaking already about the different laws of Pesach, because there are so many different details. So today, what we're going to do, we're going to cover four subjects. The first subject we're going to cover is how to check your home for chametz. Yeah. Number two, we are going to discuss what type of items do I have to get rid of, i.e. medications, kitniyot, and the like. Number three, we're going to discuss the selling of chametz, whatever I don't want to get rid of. Is there a possibility, as we know that there is, to sell the chametz to a non-Jew? And that way we don't own it on Pesach. We don't own the chametz on Pesach. And then we buy it back. And the fourth subject we are going to discuss is, the checking of the chametz. So that's the four subjects, which is, each one is a heavy subject in itself, but we'll try to go little by little. Cleaning the house for Pesach. The number one thing we have to know about cleaning the house for Pesach is that there is no greater challenge to a housewife than the month of Nisan. Some people who are really clean freaks even start getting nervous Tu Bishvat, which was like about a month and a half ago. So they already start getting nervous for Pesach. How are they going to make sure that their house is chametz free? And then you have all different types of organizations that they'll call themselves the chametz busters, that they'll clean their house for you to try. But the truth is that a lot of it is spring cleaning. A lot of it is spring cleaning, and it's not really the heavy duty. It's not really what the halacha requires of chametz. The halacha requires of chametz the following. See, there's a law in the laws of chametz, something very interesting that we say. The day of right before Pesach, we say in the morning, kol chamira v'chamira, any chametz that I have left over, it should be considered like dust in my eyes. So what does that mean, it should be considered like dust in my eyes? That means I don't value it at all. And this chametz, to me, is considered like the dust of the earth. That is what we mention on the night of Pesach. On the day of Pesach, and we have the power to say that this chametz is worthless to me. That means that if I by mistake forgot that I had a piece of bread in my possession, I have a piece of bread, and I said this verse, kol chamira v'chamira, then it became like dust to me. I didn't violate any halacha. Right, because I didn't consider it like anything anymore. The only difference is that after Pesach, I can't use it, because I already said it's like dust. I can't use it. That's a special halacha, that after Pesach, I can't consume that chametz. Now, despite the fact that I said that I nullified the chametz and it considered like dirt to me, nevertheless, chachamim say you have to check your chametz. Why? Because we are afraid that you're going to find the chametz, and you're going to eat it. Once you eat it, you say you're showing, you're not saying, you're showing it's not dust, you're showing that you really wanted to eat it, and that chametz is going to be forbidden nevertheless. So even though there's a halacha that you could nullify chametz before Pesach, but you still have to check for chametz, that because we're afraid that if you're going to find chametz, you are going to eat it. Yeah? Okay. Now the question is, what chametz are we looking for? So this is where people have the famous misconception. There is no obligation to check for crumbs. There's no halacha that you have to check for crumbs. There's no such thing. You have to check for a piece of bread that you may possibly eat, which is the size of a kezayin, which is like, let's say, the size of half a slice or a slice. That's the type of bread that we have to look for to try to get rid of on Pesach. Anything that's less than that, really, there's no real obligation to check for it, but the custom is that, listen, you find crumbs, obviously you try to get rid of them. But there's no obligation to look. So therefore, if I would want to check a normal apartment, a normal house that's tidy, that's not like in a whole shambles, in a mess, yeah? It shouldn't take me more than, I would say, a couple hours. It shouldn't take me a couple of hours, because I locate wherever there's pieces of bread that are significant, and I get rid of them. I remove them. I look behind the beds, under the beds for, you know, a piece of cake that might have fell in there, but between the couch for a piece of cake that might have fell in there. I look around, you know, the bookshelves on top if I might have left any crackers in any backpacks or any suitcases or things like that. That type of searching is not the same type of searching as you're trying to clean every single crumb, which goes crazy. Now, personally, in our car, I can find those little big pieces of bread. The kids, sometimes they stash things. I don't know what they do over there. Every time I go to the car wash, it's just like the guy looks at me, he says, he says, children? I say, yeah. And, you know, I have to tip them more than, you know, somebody else. Because I see everybody else, it's unbelievable. They bring their cars, and they're all clean. They're all clean. Like, Danny gave me a ride in his car. He says, oh, I'm sorry for the mess. What was the sorry for the mess? Maybe he had a can of soda or something. I don't know what he had over there. And the rest was totally clean. He's like, I'm sorry for the mess. He's like, you make me feel bad. That's what he's doing. But you want to, you know, I have my car. It's like that's a real place where you have to check for chametz. Or in your office, let's say you have little snacks that you snatched. All of those places have to be checked for chametz. Thoroughly. All of those places have to be checked for chametz thoroughly. If they're not checked for chametz thoroughly, it's a problem. And that's why we have on the night before Pesach, we do something called bedikat chametz, checking for chametz. We go around with a candle and we check through in all the corners and crevices. Now, it used to be in the time of the Gemara, just to give you an idea, is that they would clean their house that night of Pesach. They would look around for chametz. Nowadays, people start a month before. So the question arises, what are they doing bedikat chametz for? They already checked the whole house. So this is such a difficult question that I suggest that one room you don't clean so well, and that's the room that you make a bracha on bedikat chametz. Otherwise, what are you cleaning the house for? You know that the house is all clean, correct? Let me ask you a question. Do you check your bathroom for chametz? No. Why not? Because you know that food is not brought in the bathroom. The same thing too, if your whole house is clean from chametz, the same way you don't check your bathroom, you don't check your whole house because you know it's all clean for chametz. How can we make a blessing on the checking the night before Pesach? Probably because we say that we assume that it does not that maybe we didn't clean well, but that's only the place that you know you didn't clean well. So you leave a little corner. That's what I suggest. Okay, that's what we're checking for. So in other words, we don't have to check up and down and all in the corners for tiny crumbs. We check for bigger pieces of bread. Okay? Got it? Good. Next topic. What are we checking for? What is considered chametz? Chametz is anything that is leavened bread, leavened that is edible. So that means bread, crackers, pretzels, whiskey.
Whiskey,
yeah, because it's made of wheat, made from wheat, and beer, all different types of candy coatings that it can have. They can have chametz. All those things are considered chametz. We'll discuss what to do with those things. All of those things are considered chametz. Anybody who wants to who is checking his house for Pesach, what he has to do is he has to make sure any of these things don't have chametz to them. Now, there's a whole different category called medications and toothpastes and mouthwash. And there's a list that comes out every single year about what can be used, what cannot be used. Now, the truth is, according to the strict halacha, really, these lists are not necessary. Because the law is that anything that's not edible, or anything that you can't give to a dog or something that they can't eat, that's not called legitimate food. Food is something that is able to be edible. But all these types of medications, and they're not edible in the first place. So really, one doesn't have to worry about them at all. Nevertheless, there are lists for many, many different reasons they have them, because some do have some edible form to it. Let's say they have an edible flour coating to them. There are not many medicines. For example, all the common Tylenols and Pepto-Bismols, all of those do are fine, but there are certain medications that have chametz to them, and those medications, one would not be, wouldn't have to check the list. Now, on the most part, they're okay. Let me, you see, all of the Afrin, Aspirin, Claritin, Contact D, Drixoral, Motrin, Tylenol, all of these are okay. Now, there's, for example, there's the smoothies, Tums smoothies. Those contain chametz. Okay. So there's one, you know, or let's say you're gonna buy the type of organic oats medicine. I mean, use your brains. It's oats. You know, you don't get close to it. But on the most part, medicines are okay. Nevertheless, they do have lists because people try to, especially in Pesach, we take upon ourselves different stringencies that we wouldn't normally take. So on the most part, any chametz any chametz that I have in the house is chametz that's edible. What other categories are included in this? What other categories are included in this? Let's think. What other categories are included in this? The what? Toothpaste. Okay, so toothpaste and mouthwash. All of the toothpaste and mouthwash, on the most part, are also, they're okay because they, first of all, they don't contain any chametz. All the Colgate. The person responsible in all of America to check this out is Rabbi Bess, who lives over here in La Brea, and he contacts most of these are okay. You don't eat it anyways, but you say some taste goes in, people don't want to have their taste on. It's all stringencies because really it's not called food according to the strict halach. Okay, now there's another gray area of food that we have to speak about, which is food that is permitted for Sephardim and forbidden for Ashkenazim. I'm talking about kitniyot. You ever heard of kitniyot? Sephardim, this is a famous, probably the most famous distinction between Sephardim and Ashkenazim, is that Ashkenazim accepted upon themselves for generations and generations not to consume on Pesach different types of legumes, different types of lentils and beans and rice. Anything that resembles beans already has a connection to chametz one way or the other. They say you can make rice bread, you can make other things. So since you can make rice bread, it's similar to bread. They didn't want to have anything to do with legumes. So basically, Ashkenazim from Eastern Europe, all they ate during Pesach, and what they eat during Pesach is potatoes. They eat potato kugel and boiled potatoes and baked potatoes and french fries and mashed potatoes. And however you can find a way how to eat potatoes, that's what Ashkenazim eat on Pesach. Sephardim didn't accept that. Sephardim said, listen, if you're concerned that the rice is going to get mixed up with wheat kernels, that I understand. But if you're going to check it very well, there's no reason to keep away from rice and from lentils and all these things. So according to us, if you go to a Sephardic person's house, on Pesach, you could consume all of the lentil, all of these different ingredients, and there should be no issue and no problem whatsoever. Yeah? Sure. Now, what to do, an Ashkenazi who goes over to a Sephardic house, so usually they're afraid. They say, okay, so he's not going to serve me any chametz, but maybe he's going to serve me the stuff that he was cooked in. He's going to serve me a dish that the rice was cooked in. So the Ashkenazim don't have to worry about that. They go so far. They can eat at the Sephardi's house. As long as he doesn't serve the rice, so they won't eat the rice. But they don't have to go so far to be machmir. The question is, by Sephardim have a much harder time in America what to buy and what not to buy. And what do I mean by that? Because the Ashkenazim are basically 95% of the Jews in America. They have the 5% Sephardim. The Sephardim are not big enough to have their own hechsherim and their own laws about. In other words, their own kashrut organizations to say that, you know, this rice is kosher for Bezel. So it turns out the Sephardim don't really know what things are kosher, what is not. So there's a list that you could get also on the web called jsor.org. which is the Jersey Shore Orthodox Rabbinate, that they go through for Sephardim, because there's a lot of Sephardim in New Jersey, and they really go through what is permitted to be consumed and what is not on for Sephardim on Pesach. So let me just give certain examples. First of all, there are certain things that despite the fact that you should try to buy everything kosher for Pesach, and it's very easy now, you should just go to the store, that like a glut market, and they basically have everything that's kosher for Pesach, they have right then and there. So, for example, if you want to know where to get kosher rice from. So, let me read to you what they read over here. Any unenriched or organic rice is acceptable. Lundenberg, Rice Select, very easy to check. Super Lucky Elephant brand from Costco. Super Lucky Elephant brand. Or Golden Elephant brand sold on Avenue U. That's not here. Along with Suget brand from Israel. Okay. Most supermarket brands of rice are enriched. The enrichment is diluted with starch in order to distribute it evenly on the rice. This can be corn, rice, or wheat starch based. Care must be taken to buy only rice that is enrichment that is not mixed with chametz. So you see, that's one of the reasons why Ashkenazim say we don't want to even get close to rice, because look, already now in generations, look, some of the rice is made with wheat. There's a lot of connection between rice and wheat, so you know they want to stay away. But we say if we buy any unenriched or organic rice, you should be okay. And just check it well, it's okay. The following brands were checked and acceptable. Carolina, Goya, Matama, Publix, River, Riceland, Blue Diamond, Water Made Success, Carolina Gold, and Uncle Ben's. All of that is permissible on Pesach if your last name is Karudi. Okay. Now, the problem is also with sodas. Why is the reason why Coca-Cola? Now, recent years, Coca-Cola, some of them, they have the yellow tab. Why is yellow? It's kosher for Pesach. What's chametz in Coca-Cola?
Corn
syrup. Corn syrup is not chametz. But for Ashkenazim, it's kidney yolk. Nevertheless.
So if you are Sephardic, you can have a regular Coke?
So that's what you would think. But over here, for some reason, they say Coca-Cola Classic. You still should only buy the one with the yellow cap.
Yellow is better anyway.
Yellow is better?
Yeah,
people say it's better because it doesn't...
Real sugar.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah, because corn syrup, it's real sugar.
Ah, so people like it better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
People.
Yeah.
That's
over there.
Passover, you know, even
going,
they love it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
they
keep
it. Mexico's always there with sugar.
Oh, yeah?
Because it's all kosher, yeah.
Ah, so, yes, that's the kosher organizations over there, what they do. So, like, let's say tea. Any unflavored, non-herbal, regular tea bags are acceptable without a special cake. Kosher for Passover. But, however, any decaf, you always have to be concerned with decaf, because decaf have in it a chametz ingredient to it that makes it not kosher. All decaffeinated coffee must be marked for Passover. Sanka, Maxwell House Decaf, etc. Yeah. Okay. Seltzers. Any unflavored seltzer with kosher Passover surrogation is acceptable. All right, just to give you an idea, those or pure sugar. Pure white granulated cane sugar may be purchased as long as dextrose or glucose are not listed for the ingredients. Because, Ari, how are you doing? Would you mind seeing if there's a water bottle in there? That's available. Thank you. That anything that has dextrose or glucose, it could be an issue. Okay, so that's just to give a very, very rough idea. Let's say you have canned vegetables. Some of them have emulsifiers that are made out of chametz. Obviously, pickles sometimes are made from vinegar, and some of the vinegar could be wheat-based. This is how kashrut organizations are always on top of these things, what's okay and what's not okay. Very good.
And a clean unused jar from a cup.
Thank you. Baruch Ata Adonai Elohim Melech Haolam Shekhar.
Amen.
Okay, which leads us to the next topic. What are you selling and what are you not selling before Pesach? There is a halacha that you're not allowed to own any chametz on Pesach. Not allowed to own. Zilch. Nada. Nothing. What happens, though, is that if somebody owns a big supermarket, or somebody owns a huge amount of chametz, it's very hard for him to get rid of it. What is he supposed to do? So, in the past 500 years, they came up with a solution. Actually, it was really from the time of the Gemara already, there was such a concept. But the time of the Gemara is slightly different. Time of the Gemara, it says, no problem. You could sell your chametz to your neighbor who's not Jewish and who's not commanded in having to, you know, not having chametz. Yeah, a non-Jew is allowed to have chametz. You sell it to your fellow neighbor and it's theirs. It's not yours anymore. You don't own it. And after Pesach, you come along and say, hey, you know what? Can I buy it back? No, it's his. You can decide to sell it back to you or not. So that would work pretty much okay. Except that nowadays, you can imagine the owners of, ShopRite, okay? Huge supermarket chain. He's selling millions of dollars. And they sit down at a table, him with a non-Jew, and the question is, if legally, is it a real sale? Because the truth is that the document is very legal. The document says like this. This is the document that is sold. We do this every single year. A very nice lady, her name is Sandy Terzis. She used to be a secretary in EULA for many, many years. And she comes to Rabbi Tendler's table, and we have like 8 rabbis over there the day before Pesach, and we sell her the chametz. And she understands much better than most laymen in the shul. She understands all of the laws of Pesach. She was a secretary in EULA for many, many years. You was like the local high school. So it's written in the document the following, just to give you an idea of a Shtar Mechirat Chametz. I hereby Mordechai Lebar, appointed by my community. In other words, people in my community will give me that they give me the permission to sell their chametz. They have to give me the location. They have to give me where their key is and where they can be contacted, and they give me all of that information. I go to the table. The other was a non-Jew, and I say, okay, here is the chametz that I'm selling, okay? And I go, Sandy, if you want to buy this, so we're going to get 3 professionals to appraise the value of it, and you'll buy it. Do you agree? She said, yes. Okay, so give me a down payment now. And in case, for the next 30 days, you decide that you want to buy it, so we'll go ahead and we'll appraise the rest and you'll owe me the rest. And that's how it's done. So that's why it's a fair deal, it's a fair game, it's legal, it's binding. So many poskim say, why not? There's no problem in doing that. Some say, since nobody has really in their heart of hearts the real intention to give over their whole supermarket chain to somebody, they're not intending to selling it right away. It's on the rise. They're not intending on selling it right away. So the appraisers will give the right price, but I still don't want to sell it. And some people, so because of that, they say, don't rely on the sale 100%. Rely on it only for things that are not really, really chametz. For example, ketchup and mayonnaise and different types of things that might have some ingredients of chametz, but it's not mostly chametz. Yeah. But the truth is that if somebody wants to sell regular chametz, there's no problem whatsoever. Because it's a binding contract. According to law, a person could bring that to court and they would win. If it's a binding contract, there is no way that you can say that the chametz was yours on Pesach. You really sold it. You understand, that room that you keep the chametz in, it's not your place. I mean, the person has the right to go on Pesach and to do whatever they want. You know, the person you sold it to. That would be the strict halacha. Now, the question arises the following. Listen to this. This is where the technicality goes through. What's the halacha if somebody sells the chametz, doesn't sell his chametz? The halacha is all of his chametz is forbidden after Pesach. For example, the 99-cent store is owned by a person called Mr. Gold. Okay? Mr. Gold, up to now, has not sold his chametz, unfortunately, on Pesach.
Is he firm?
Not at all. Not at all. Well, if he's firm, of course he wouldn't sell it. He's not at all religious. Most of them are not even religious. They still sell it because they want Orthodox people to come buy their chametz. He doesn't even care. Whatever it is, I don't know what the details. So after Pesach, we know, you go to the RCC, he'll give you a list, or anybody else, the kosher organization, will say, for the next 3 months, and the truth is, by 99 cent store, the shelf stocking period is much longer than that. They keep things on the shelf for a long, long time. That's why it's so cheap, because they get right before expiration dates. Yeah, even things that are like 10-year expiration dates went last month, though. You know, that's why it's so cheap. And you can buy, and you buy the stuff over there. It's chametz that Pesach, chametz she'avar alav Pesach, which is forbidden. Chametz that Pesach passed by and wasn't sold is forbidden to eat. Right, and so we know. Let's say Big Gold, you're not supposed to. Now, a lot of supermarkets are owned by. Interestingly enough, the chains are owned by Jews, which would present itself a problem. Which would present a problem that how could you buy in those supermarkets after Pesach? So there's somebody called Rabbi Tights in Elizabeth, New Jersey, that actually has for years and years he has a contract with these supermarkets, and he buys from them. Now the question is like this. Who can think of the obvious question? Not all at once. The obvious question is that during Pesach, all of these stores are still open. Right. And all of these stores are still selling chametz. I mean, even coffee beans. Right? Coffee beans owned by a Jew. You think they're selling all the stuff. So, Rav Moshe Feinstein says the following. Listen to this. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, yes, you're right. They are selling it, and they have no right to sell chametz on Pesach, but they're stealing. But they're nullified. Mm-hmm. Others say, no. That they're selling chametz on Pesach, they're treating it like it's theirs. That they're selling chametz and they treat it like it's theirs, it shows that the whole thing's a farce. So any supermarket that's still selling chametz on Pesach, it's not a good sale, and you can't have their products even after Pesach. Most of the kosher organizations rely on Moshe Feinstein and say, no. What they're selling is just because, you know, they weren't supposed to, but they made a contract. Why'd you make a contract? Too bad. If you don't read the fine line, it's your problem. So the custom is to rely on Rav Moshe Feinstein for numerous reasons, that after Pesach, any supermarkets that were sold are okay, but any supermarkets that weren't sold, like that, it's usually a 99 cent store, a couple other ones.
But what about like Ralph's? That's not owned by a Jewish person.
Ralph's not owned. Ralph's is owned by Kroger's.
Right.
It's not a problem.
And I think Coffee Bean is owned by a fruit dealer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but they sell. They sell their pesto. You rely on Moshe Feinstein for that.
He sells like croissants during Passover stuff.
Right. Okay. Why? Because you ask him, you approach him. He goes, I know I'm very good friends with this rabbi. You ask, I know him very well. He goes away. You go to him. Yeah. So I sold it.
Right.
All right, why are you selling it still? Doesn't have an answer for that. But it's a good sale. But it's a good sale, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein. No, you could shop there. You just shouldn't buy any cookies and those things for the first couple of months, yeah, until they restock.
But what about other things that may have chametz product in it, like corn chip and ketchup or something like that? I don't know if 99
cents. No, that's corn tits or ketchup. It's all kidney yolk. You don't have to worry about after Pesach. You know, during Pesach, Ashkenazim don't eat it. After Pesach, you don't have to worry about it. Okay? And our last, so that was about the selling of chametz. And the fourth thing that we spoke about is checking. So the laws of bedikat chametz is the following. Is that the night before Pesach, you go around all rooms of the house and you make a blessing on anything that you own, which is your house, your car, and your office. And for many people, it's very difficult. What they live all the way in the boondocks, they're gonna go check their office also. So the custom is that there's two things. The best thing to do is to leave after sundown your office. That way you start doing the bedika, because we're obligated the night of the 13th, which this year Pesach falls out on a Monday night, so Sunday night is bedikat chametz. So on Sunday night you should stay, you're not in the office usually, but let's say you would stay in the office till sundown, then you're obligated to do the check in the chametz. You check your office and then you go home. But many people don't do that. So many people, what they do is that they make a blessing, is that they make sure it's clean beforehand. And if they make sure it's clean beforehand, like we mentioned, you're not obligated, once you make sure it's clean beforehand, you're not obligated on checking anymore. Yeah, you're not obligated on checking anymore. Once you do that, you're really exempt from checking any further. Yeah, so that would be regarding the checking the office. Checking the car is the same thing. That once you make a bracha on bedikat chametz in your house, once you make bedikat a blessing on bedikat chametz in your house, yes, Rabbi Brander. Oh, he's speaking to someone?
Yeah.
Once you make a checking of bedikat chametz in your house, eavesdropping. Once you make bedikat chametz in your house, and you check all corners, then there's something called chamira. You say the nullifying of the chametz, and the next morning what you take out all that chametz and you're gonna burn it. That's called the mitzvah shreifat chametz. Where do you burn it? Usually in Pico they have a set area. I think actually it's in the parking lot of B'nai David one year. I don't know where it's gonna be this year.
No, I think last year they didn't have it.
B'nai David did have it.
Yeah. They did have
it. In other words, burning the... Because you can't... In Israel, every like little corner just has these bonfires and everything. Imagine in Pico, everybody's going to have their bonfires on Monday morning. The city's going to freak out. Yeah. So kids make these huge bonfires. They're all waiting for it. Yeah.
Flyer there.
And they have a flyer over there. And that way, people...
Oh, Rabbi Moshe.
Yeah. Okay. So now the Rabbi Brander is here. We'll stop the class. How are you doing, Rabbi Brander?
Well, I want to understand how to prepare for Pesach.
You want to understand how to prepare for Pesach. Prepare for Pesach is to... What do you want from me, Rabbi Brander? You're on tape.
Okay. Wait, is it true that non-Jews eat rice on Pesach?
Thank you.